This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Also leaning on his main guys to win the game. And so far, when I'm looking at a game-to-game basis, it's really only Kevon Looney and Alphonso McKinney that I think can really give him minutes without screwing up the complexion of the game. And I even have to kind of mollify about Kevon because he got in foul trouble the other night in game three, but that was kind of an exception rather right. than the rule. But everyone else, I mean, you looked at that staggered second quarter lineup, that was a huge turning point in them kind of wetting the bed where they had Jonas Jerebko and then they're trying to insert Andrew Bogut. And, you know, you can't really fault Steve for trying to find some combinations because it's not the solution to play his starting lineup the entire game. But he really doesn't have a lot of good options. Like, you could make a case of, hey, well, what about Jordan Bell getting some minutes? Well, he hasn't really been prepared all season. And, hey, what about having Quinn Cook handle the ball a little bit to relieve some of Steph's workload? Yeah, well, he's also a liability defensively.
Right.
So right now it's not enough cause for concern, but I'm wondering maybe West Finals, NBA Finals, does this stuff start catching up to them? And obviously the longer – this series goes, the more of a challenge it will become.
So going into the series, Kevon Looney was painted as one of the X factors, and we know that he plays well against the Rockets. If you think, okay, Boogie Cousins, even though he beat up on Clint Capella, totally bullied him, when he got hurt, it was not a huge cause for concern to me because I know that Kevon Looney fits in this series very well, but he only played 13-26 last night. Alphonso McKinney, who I love when he's out there in short spurts, the guy's just he's an offensive rebound magnet, but he only played 7:54. That to me suggests more than anything that Kerr's just going to go with what got him there.
Yeah, and partly why Kevon didn't have a lot of minutes the other night was he got in foul trouble.
Yeah.
I think to a larger point, you know, he had a pretty good game one, but game two, he didn't really do much. I mean, he only had one field goal attempt, four rebounds. And, you know, that's not what he's about, but he got in foul trouble in that game too. And I think when you're looking at what made him so valuable for most of the season was that he would be a guy that could get some defensive stops, get some rebounds. And I think specifically in the playoffs, like, it's an added bonus if he can do any of that, especially against a guy like James Harden. But I think the most important thing is, can he give Steve Kerr just minutes without changing the complexion of the game for the worse? And usually he's been able to do that, and these past two games he hasn't. And, you know, I think because of that, that really exposed the fact that they just don't have many good center options. I mean, Draymond has been a godsend because he's Draymond, but to an extent I think it's unfair to just pile everything onto him because he already assumes so much of a workload. So they really have to solidify that center spot. It doesn't really matter how it cuts it, like whether it's Kevon Looney doing what Kevon Looney has normally done or Jonas Jerebko having a surprise game two performance when Steph got in foul trouble or Andrew Bogut doing what he was doing earlier when he signed with the Warriors. But right now it doesn't really feel like the Warriors know what they're going to get with that position.
Talking with Mark Medina of the San Jose Mercury News, and he's their Warriors beat writer, of course. Glad you mentioned Draymond. He had another triple-double last night, and I read an article recently that it was titled How Russell Westbrook Broke the Triple-Double. And I agree with it to some extent because, you know, there's plenty of evidence that he went triple-double hunting, right? Late in the game, he would find out that he's got 8 assists, and so he wouldn't shoot for a while. He would just pass it. And, I mean, the guy has averaged a triple-double for 3 years, And it got a lot of attention that first year because it was the first time since Oscar Robertson. But it's almost like it's been devalued, which sucks for Draymond because he gets legit triple doubles. I mean,
yeah,
his triple doubles are far more impactful than Russell Westbrook.
Oh, without a doubt, I think you hit it on the head. And here's the thing, as you know, covering the Warriors these last few years, like Draymond's value is never in the box score. Usually. Yeah. It's with all what you see with the eye test. But I think the triple-double in Draymond's case shows that he has his imprint on the game in so many different facets. Like, he's not a predominant scorer, but he is able to be a playmaker. And then the fact he's gained assists shows that he's one of the best passers on the team, and he's getting good looks for Steph, Clay, or KD. And then the fact he's getting rebounds shows that he's being active defensively. But what I found very surprising is usually – when Draymond has a kind of Draymond game, it affects the entire complexion of the game. And when you're looking at game three, he did all the things that the Warriors could have ever asked of him.
Sure.
Yet it didn't really translate to the rest of the team. I mean, as much as we're microanalyzing Steph Curry's poor shooting night and Klay Thompson not having the best night, if they had simply won the rebounding battle, the Warriors would have won this game easily. They lost that battle by 20 rebounds.
Yeah, and by 10 on the offensive end.
Yeah, and especially with the Rockets, like, they hunt three-point shots. So you're basically giving them an extra chance to score an extra 30 points off of threes, off of those rebounds. And I just found that – I found it surprising because usually when Draymond sets the example like that, others follow suit. But I think it also illustrates what we were talking about earlier, where the Warriors are so top-heavy – and the guys beneath them just haven't been consistently reliable. So when you're looking at the box score, like Draymond and Klay were really the only guys who got rebounds. And, you know, when you're looking at the other front court players, Kevon Looney, Jonas Derepko, Andrew Boga were nowhere to be found.
Talking with Mark Medina, one more question for you, Mark. He is the beat writer for the Warriors for the Mercury News, Bay Area News Group. Bang, follow him on Twitter at @MarkG_Medina. One of the things that I've been hearing and seeing, and I'm sure you've heard and seen it as well. Hell, maybe you've even written it. But one of the reasons that I still have confidence, my confidence level hasn't changed at all just because they lost game three. But there hasn't been, throughout the entire playoffs, really, there hasn't been a quote-unquote Steph game or a Klay game where they just get completely locked in and dominate the opposition no matter who it is. Now, again, that's why I have the confidence. Last night was an Eric Gordon game. We hadn't seen that from the Rockets, and he goes 7-for-14 on three-pointers. He scored 30 points. I mean, you knew at some point they were going to get an Eric Gordon game. They got it. I have no doubt that the Warriors will get a Steph game and a Klay game before the series ends, and that's why my confidence level is the same it was before game three.
Yeah, I mean, Klay had that Klay game in game four against the Clippers after, you know, he dove into the ocean. But as far as you're right. Yeah, as far as Steph goes, you're right. He hasn't. He's had games where he hasn't been terrible, but he hasn't had a Steph Curry game. But I think, you know, the Warriors share the optimism that not only is it because of Steph Curry, but he has a good history of bouncing back from poor games. And, you know, I was looking up some of his stats, you know, from this season, and he's only shot the ball under 40% in consecutive games three times this season.
Wow.
And that included games two and three against the Rockets. So, like, the law of averages show that Steph's going to have a good game because after those consecutive games, he usually shoots above 50%. But I think where kind of the complicated part of this is, it's not even about, oh, well, Steph will do it at some point. I think he has to do it in game four. And the reason why is, one, you don't want to give the Rockets any more confidence that they already have after winning a game. But number two, as productive as Kevin Durant has been ever since game three against the Clippers, where no one can stop him, I wonder, to some point, will the Warriors start seeing what happened last year in the Western Conference Finals against Houston, where he opened the series so productive, the Rockets felt helpless, and they were willing to tolerate it so long as Steph and Klay weren't hitting their shots. But then it came to the point that Kevin was getting inefficient because Steph and Klay weren't helping him out. And I think that's where the urgency should be for game four. Like, Steph has to have a bounce back game there so it never gets to that point where KD starts playing inefficiently and his play is regressing. But it being Steph Curry, I would imagine that he's able to do that pretty well.
Yep. Hey, Mark, we've been rolling tape on this whole interview, so it is going to go into the reel that I will send out to the national agencies.
Nice. There you go. There you go. You'll get a cut.
Mark Medina, he is the beat writer for the Mercury News, the Bay Area News Group. Follow him on Twitter at MarkG_Medina. Thank you, as always, Mark. Enjoy your time. I know you're driving to the Gulf of Mexico early tomorrow morning. If you don't, I'm disappointed in you. But I'm never disappointed by your work or your appearances. Thanks again, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I'll set my alarm clock, but no guarantees.
All right. I'm going to call you, too, man. I'll get your number from my producer. And, yeah, I'll heckle you.
There you go. There you go. Well, we'll see if I'm able to still wake up from it.
All right. Hey, Mark, have a good time, man. Thanks again. We will talk to you, I'm sure, at some point, probably five times between now and game four. So thanks again, man.
You got my number, so I'll look forward to it.
All right, man. Thank you for calling in, or actually taking our call. It used to be in radio that you would ask the guest to call you. And 50% of the time they wouldn't. I always wondered, why the hell are we putting it in their hands? Put it in our hands, because it's so easy to forget. Mark would never forget. We're going to stick with the Warriors. We haven't dove into really the Rockets side of things and what made them so much better in Game 3 than Games 1 and 2. Obviously, it starts with James Harden, but there were plenty other reasons, and the main one is my basketball man crush. If you've been listening to me for a couple of years, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, that's why you got to stay tuned. I'm Michael Urban, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, and thanks for being here. I am Michael Urban. We're going to be together until 7 o'clock, at which point I hand off to Warriors World Radio. Good stuff there. Make sure you stick around for that. It's basically Warriors World is our world here at 95.7 The Game. Obviously, we are the radio home of Warriors basketball. So we've got JD is down there, boots on the ground. He's been chiming in to almost every show, even offered up his services for tonight, but I heard him doing, what was it, the final hour with Ryan Covey, and I said, you know, go have some fun. Get out there. He had dinner plans. I didn't want him to change them. But, yeah, it's heavy, heavy Warriors here. I'm not going to apologize for it. It should be. It's the biggest story in sports. Nobody's ambivalent about the Warriors. You either love the Warriors, which means you're in the Bay Area, or you're out there and you just, I mean, there's plenty of people nationally that just can relate to Steph and Clay and love watching KD. But it's either, I love this team, I love watching this team, or I'm sick of this team. They're a bunch of whiners. They bought championships. KD's a coward for signing with them. There's just nobody really down the middle. If you're down the middle, give us a call, 888-957-9570. We talked a little bit about it with Mark Medina, but the 415 says, what do you make of the possible return of Boogie in the postseason? Now look, picking up a former all-star who's 7 feet tall and physical as all hell, that's good. That's good for ball. I don't see how there would necessarily be a negative with it. I mean, does Boogie coming back mean, oh, now it's definitely title. We're going to win the title. Boogie's back. I won't put that much weight on it. But it is a good thing, again, picking up a 7-footer who's agile, who's a great passer, who can score in the post and knock down a 3 every once in a while. Of course, that's good. I don't know if Boogie would have gotten a ton of run in this series. Again, Kevon Looney, who didn't play much last night because of foul trouble, he's always done really well against the Rockets, and it's because of his value defensively. He can switch off, and if he's on Chris Paul or Harden, he does a pretty good job. For a 5, the way he stays in front of those shifty guards, that's why he gets so much time. He's the most underrated guy on the roster, no doubt. Andre Iguodala had a big night last night. He hit some clutch threes. He hit the clutch threes that you expect from Steph or Clay, and it wasn't really happening. Andre Iguodala went 6 for 9 from the floor, 3 for 4 from three. He played more than 40 minutes, 16 points. He had a few assists. Let's see, what's his rebounding count? 6 rebounds. He had a great game. And that's why I said earlier, $16 million per season? I tend to look at it as $16 million for the 16 wins you need in the playoffs. That's what Iggy is all about in the playoffs. Now, I told you I was going to talk about my basketball man crush, and you guys might not like it because it's not a Warrior. P.J. Tucker had himself a game last night. And I finally got hip to P.J. Tucker 2 years ago, and then last year got to see him in 7 games. In the Western Conference Final, he's one of those X-factor guys, no doubt. I mean, Eric Gordon had an Eric Gordon game for the first time in the series. He scored 30 points. And it's not like you're looking for P.J. Tucker to do a lot of scoring. That's not really his role. His role is to be a pain in the ass to the opposition. And he does that very, very well. Last night, so Eric Gordon, I mentioned, 11 for 20 from the floor, 7 for 14 from three. That's what we in the business call a great game. Where do we have to go with this? Okay, P.J. Tucker, now I found it. 33 minutes, 3 of 9 from the floor. Didn't take any three-pointers. You think, that's not a great game. He did have a great game. He did. He's one of those guys that a lot of the things that he does really well, they don't show up in the box score. And I know that sounds cliched and trite, but look, cliches exist because they're rooted in truth. P.J. Tucker, aside from having the best shoe game in the league, he's the gnat that you smack it away and it comes back. Or the fly, like it lands on your knee and you damn near kill it, but you slightly miss, so it gets away with it, right? He avoided his death sentence. So you would think you do that. If you're the fly, you stay away. You just count your blessings. You got away with it. Go somewhere else. But no, flies aren't very smart. I'm not saying P.J. Tucker's not smart. I'm not taking the analogy that far. But the fly will come back to that same spot. And it's annoying as hell. And playing against P.J. Tucker, I would imagine, is annoying as hell. He's not like the lockdown perimeter defender. He's not an animal on the boards. He's not a dead-eye shooter. Again, box score, there's some players whose contributions to the team just don't show up in the box score. Draymond Green happens to show up in the box score, but even when he doesn't get a triple, if he had a game where it was 4 points on 1 of 4 shooting, or 2 of 4 shooting, or he got 6 rebounds, he had 8 assists, nobody's going to look at that box score and be blown away by it, right? But if you watch the game, you know that Draymond Green had a huge impact on the contest because just that's what he does. P.J. Tucker, I think the first time I really noticed him was when he was wearing green shoes and the Rockets were in their red uniforms and it was not anywhere near Christmas. So I was trying to figure out why he went green shoes. And as I've learned to love P.J. Tucker, I don't think there's any rhyme or reason to what shoes he wears, but ESPN has dedicated a regular piece of content. It's like serial content that examines what shoes P.J. Tucker has worn that day. We've got a new producer. I'm working with him for the first time. His name is Joe Sherry. Crack the mic, Joe. How big is the shoe game in your world? I know you look like you're probably a millennial.
Shoe game's big. You know, I don't have the money to get invested into the shoe game, but I can't say I'm opposed to it. You know, if I made the big bucks like some of the other people around here, you know, I'd get some new Jordans.
Someone
new
here
J's.
Makes big bucks?
I mean,
gold?
Hopefully someone does. Somebody has to. Maybe the guy way, way upstairs. I haven't made it up there yet. So.
I think it might be Greg Papa.
Shh. Don't tell anybody.
So what are you rocking right now? How's your shoe game?
Right now I got some the new birthday shoes, some Adidas something boosts. They're comfy as hell, so
The Adidas something boost, that just makes it pretty clear that shoe game's not that important in your life.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm more of a Vans slip-on Vans guy, but, you know, have to shake it up here and there.
There you go. You look good, though. Thank you. Joe Sherry, new producer here at 95.7 The Game. Jeff Gold, board op extraordinaire. I hate even calling you a board op because you do so much. Joe is the reason I sleep well at night. That's not an over-exaggeration. 888-957-9570. The 510 texts us on the Chilton Auto Body line, 95795. By the way, those phone lines, they are popping. I don't know who to go to first. There's nobody on the phone lines. Get there. You can be my co-host for as long as you're good. Like if you make your first point and it's awesome, then you'll get to make a second point. I will extend it. If you're trash right away, then you have your say, and I say thanks for the call. No hard feelings, but give us a call. 888-957-9570. The 510 on the Chilton Auto Body text line. Again, that's 95795. PJ Tucker has a huge AJ collection. Check out PRSTG in Alameda. Okay, it may as well say, Mama Go Dog Face in the Banana Patch, because I have no idea what he's saying. I don't know what the AJ collection is. I don't know what PRSTG and Alameda is. Help me out. 510. Call in and explain yourself. 888-957-9570. Let's say stubborn, says the 707, may have been a better choice than not smart. But you make a lot of good points. That's in reference to PJ Tucker. If Eric Gordon, says the 415, keeps making shots, we will lose. That guy is on fire. That's from Julio in the 415. Thank you for putting your name on it, by the way. Always put your name on it. You deserve credit if you make a great text line take. Give it to me. Thank you, Julio. Although, that guy is on fire as it pertains to Eric Gordon. That guy was on fire in game 3. He wasn't in game 2 or game 1, and I would imagine they're going to take steps, the Warriors that is, to make sure that he's not on fire in game 4. But it goes back to the point I was making with Mark Medina, and he corrected me. Klay has had a Klay game in this playoffs when he went to the Pacific Ocean in the Clipper series and came out busted loose. But we haven't seen a Steph game, not only in this series, but haven't really seen one in the playoffs. I think he went for 38 in the first playoff game. I'm pretty sure. But certainly in this series, we have not seen a Steph game. But just like Eric Gordon, you knew you were going to see one eventually. We're going to see a Steph game soon. And it wouldn't shock me to see it in game 4. He doesn't pay attention to the noise the way Kevin Durant does. And I'm not ripping Durant, but a lot of pro athletes say, oh, I don't listen to that. I don't read that stuff. It's all garbage. I tune it out. Some athletes read everything, and I think some of those who say, yeah, I don't. But they do. They do. KD listens and reads everything. I don't think Klay does it all. I think Steph does a little bit of it, but it doesn't affect Steph the way it clearly affects KD. But tell you what, if all this noise is what's motivated KD to, since game 3 of the Clipper series, he has been bananas. He has been the most, it's been, Steve Kerr played with Michael Jordan, for God's sakes, and he says, this is a run like I have never seen. And in case anyone forgot, he even added, and I've played with some pretty good players, pretty explosive guys on offense. Steve Kerr has been on the floor with Michael Jordan, and he is saying what Durant is doing is better than anything he saw from Jordan. That's an incredibly big statement. That's why I want KD not worrying about, okay, whose team is it? Who gets, you know, we need to be democratic. Who gets the last shot? Let's see who has the best shooting percentage. No, get it to KD. He's the one guy I have ultimate faith in last second situations. And again, that's not a knock on Steph or Klay. But Klay is very streaky. And I wouldn't say that Steph is streaky, but he's not right. It's clear. I don't know if it's the finger or if it's the ankle, but something is bothering Steph Curry. And you could argue that he's been affected in one way or another, negatively, health-wise, throughout the entire playoffs. And that seems to happen a lot to him. That's a concern. But again, I'm not concerned about Game 4. I think the Warriors are going to win, and I think they're going to close it out in Game 5. I've said it was going to be a Game 5 series. It was going to be a five-game series all along, and I'm sticking with that. The Rockets won last night. They played better last night, but the Warriors could have won. That's another reason I'm confident. They haven't had a Steph or a Klay game in this series, and yet you could say very easily, look, they haven't played great basketball. They've done it for, I guess Game 2 was the best ball that they played, the second half of Game 2. But they haven't played great, and they're going to at some point. And I think it's going to be Games 4 and Game 5. Let's go to Matt in Alameda. I think he's going to give me some knowledge on the, what is it, the PRSTG store.
Hey, what's going on, Irv?
Hey, Matt, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, man, so that was a Prestige. It's PRSTG is short for Prestige in Alameda.
Okay.
You know, we buy, sell, and trade sneakers, but that guy, PJ Tucker, probably got one of the best shoe collections in the game. I've even heard that Jordan asked him where he gets some of the shoes because they're extremely limited.
Wow.
So when the NBA opened up the opportunity for him to just, for everybody to wear their shoes with no fines, that just opened the floodgates. That's why you see green shoes with red jerseys and all
right.
these multicolored shoes and, you know.
And didn't the NBA kind of open it up for people like you because you no longer have to, I never thought they enforced this anyway, but they came out before the season started and said you can wear any shoe you want. It doesn't have to match the team colors. But obviously, I mean, PJ Tucker was wearing green kicks with the red uniform. That didn't match. But now they have said officially you can wear whatever you want. Has that changed your business? I'm assuming you're associated with this store, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually one of the owners. I have a few other partners. A couple of them, I think, are tuning in right now.
Nice.
Text them. Let them know here. But it kind of opened things up because usually when a lot of the players come into town, they're looking to shop. You know, they're just like anybody else. And so we've had people from the old Pelicans team that, you know, came through, and I think it was Drew Holiday and those guys came through, and they bought some shoes. We did a lot of Draymond shoes before he hit his big contract and, you know, moved on to other things. So it helped a lot because now everybody is more into stuff. During the playoffs, of course, we don't sell LeBron shoes, but now we don't need to worry about the playoffs. But, you know, I just wanted to chime in on that. And your producer's probably wearing some Ultra Boosts.
Some what?
Adidas not doing too good with that. But, you know, the Kanye West thing, that's a whole other story. They're making a lot of money off him. But if you get some time when you're off there, come by to our shop at Alameda. We'll hook you up with a pair of shoes. We'll get you started in the game since you don't know that much about it.
I will, Matt. And you just absolutely did yourself proper with calling out that he's wearing exactly what you said he was wearing.
Yeah, I mean, and it just makes it easier for the kids to want to watch because they're into the shoes. They want to see these guys wear these shoes. It makes it easier for Nike, everybody to make their money. Everybody's still happy at the end of the day. I think it's better for the game to have these shoes because it just opens it up. It just shows the league isn't trying to control everything.
So you mentioned that the Pelicans have come in. Are you, like, every city seems to have something that it's almost like a secret gig that the NBA players know. Go ahead. Sorry, we're talking at the same time. We're doing it again.
I apologize, Eric. I apologize.
So here, let me say my question uninterrupted, and then we'll get to your answer. Do the rest of the NBA, do they know to go to PR, to Prestige in Alameda? Is it gotten out to the NBA world in general? Because that's what you need to be.
I had a mean wearing it on, Sports Nation, I think, on ESPN. He had one of our shirts on, but I still don't think we're, like, super known, but I'm pretty sure people pass the word on. The players pop in. They pop in as they can during the playoffs and the off days. They usually pop in on random occasions, but it's always a blessing when they come in because it just makes me feel good as an owner that I put my money on the line for this, and they come in, and it's all word of mouth. We haven't had a single advertisement on anything. So, I mean, it's a blessing. I just wanted to make sure I reached out to you and let you guys know the tennis shoes are alive and well.
I'm glad you did. Hey, Matt, don't hang up when I'm done with you, because I need to get your cell phone number. Joe Sherry will get that from you. And I will definitely stop by your place this week. I mean, I'm fascinated by the shoe game, and if you guys can be the NBA go-to when any team in the league comes in, you've got the NBA players coming to check you out. Just like there's cities that, okay, the jeweler there is great, or the custom suit guy is great. We're going to get you to that level, Matt. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, appreciate it. I'll stay on the line for you.
All right, that's Matt in Alameda. Let's go to Daryl in East Oakland. Daryl, what's happening, man?
Hey, yo, what's up? Hey, you know what? Hey, first and foremost. Hey, but that was my homie who just called in. That's Matt Hoff, man. That's the boy, man.
Nice, nice.
Go Prestige, man. They killing the shoe game, always have been. Pretty good friends of mine. I know pretty much everybody in there. Kudos to those guys, man.
So, Daryl, if you had a certain shoe in mind, say you're watching an NBA game, and, well, he mentioned Pelicans, so you see something that Jrue Holiday is wearing, and you want that. If you go to Prestige in Alameda, can you say, I want what Jrue Holiday was wearing last night, and they'll come up with it for you?
Yeah, most likely. I mean, so like, they're usually in touch with what most of the guys, like, especially the specialty shoes. So, like, I mean, any person can get, like, a pair of Jordan 12s, but if you want the, like, pair of Jordan 12s, like the Asian, like the one they just dropped for the Asian culture, I think it's the Chinese New Year Jordan 12s or anything like that, then you'll have to, you know, they might have some on stock, because those are the ones that people are going to want. Those are the ones that the guys on TV might have more
right.
often. You know what I'm saying? They're going to come with the killer specials that you can't just get, like that you might have, that you really can't just get, like, you know. So, for instance, it's a rapper. His name is Travis Scott. And he's dropping these Jordan 1s that are coming out probably like next week or something like that. And they're going to be super limited, only sold in like 2 or 3 stores, probably just in Houston. Those are the kind of guys, Prestige are the kind of guys that might have the connects to get a couple of pairs in their store so they can do their thing, you know what I'm saying, and have it for somebody local, you know.
Daryl, did you really think I didn't know who Travis Scott was? I'm personally offended by that.
I apologize. I apologize. I know we're playing the Rockets right now, which is why I made the connection. So, you know what I'm saying? I didn't mean it. No disrespect, baby.
I'm just kidding, man. Thank you for calling in, Daryl. I appreciate it. I've got a text, 925. I'm still waiting on your response to Tucker's, quote, great game when his stats were average at best and he was in foul trouble the entire game. Sounds like you just have a real crush on this guy. Please explain, Herbs, in all caps. Did you not hear where I say his greatness, his contributions, they don't always show up in the box score? That's what I said. Foul trouble? For a guy who was in foul trouble the entire game, he had a significant impact. P.J. Tucker did have a great game last night, and that's my whole point. Don't look at the box score. Look at the game. Use your eyes. P.J. Tucker was great. You could nitpick everybody's performance one way or another, but ultimately it's, did your contributions outweigh the things you did poorly? In this case, he was in foul trouble. I wouldn't say the whole game. His stats were average at best. Yes, his stats were average at best, but if you watch the game, you know he was damn good in that game. We're going to stick with Warriors, of course. Big Dave and San Leandro is going to lead off. The number you want to call in, the phone lines are starting to pop, but they're still kind of lonely. It's almost like the bar at 215. Most of the people have left, but there's people just kind of lingering, and they don't know where they're going next. They're probably a little bit heated, don't know what they're doing right now. That's what the call board looks like. It's just a bunch of lonely 215 guys. No offense, Big Dave, but I want it to look, it's a Cinco de Mayo. I want it to be celebrated. Let's talk about Cinco de Mayo if that's what you want to talk about, but you got to call. 888-957-9570. There is another player on the Rockets that I'm a little bit worried about. He's another guy whose contributions don't always show up in the post-game box score. He's a guy that I've never liked and never gave any credit. But he had a good game last night, and after game two, I warned everybody, I know you don't think much of this guy, but he's going to have an impact on this series, and he did, starting with last night's game. Do you know who that was? Do you? 888-957-9570. I'll give you a hint. His dad's an NBA coach on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
I know this song. What is it? It's like, okay. It's popular, right? It's been on the radio and stuff. Like, the other stuff you've been playing, Jeff Gold, by the way, on the ones and twos, has been just straight up mariachi stuff that you plucked off of YouTube. But now you're culturally relevant. Thank you very much for that. Big Dave has been on hold too long. Gotta reward patience. Big Dave in San Leandro. He is a sneakerhead. We've been talking a little bit about the NBA shoe culture. The NBA, as you probably know, this year came out before the season and said, color scheme, color schmeme. You can wear whatever you want. And I think that's livened up the sneaker game a little bit in the NBA because they're the cultural leaders when it comes to sneakers. What do you got for me, Big Dave?
Hey, first off, I'm actually in line at Costco, so I'm about to get a temporary car in a second, so they might call me up. But I wanted to call in. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Got the chicken tikka and the slow cooker. But, yeah, I am a sneakerhead. I've been collecting sneakers for a good 20 years, ever since I got out of college. And I just want to say, well, PJ Tucker is a back-to-back sneaker champion. Nice Kicks is one of the main websites out there. He's known for sneakers. He's come out and said he spends about a couple $100,000 a year, which is crazy. The sneaker game is
a couple hundred thousand a year on shoes.
You could Google search it easily. Just PJ Tucker, how much did you spend on sneakers?
Wow, it's nice to have that disposable income, isn't it?
And you know, in the past, that may have been something because there is a stock market for shoes. It's called StockX. You can go on there. You can actually see how they're trending and what they're going for and all the most recent sales and whatnot.
Right.
But the sneaker game has changed. In the past, you know, you could get some Jordans that were retro, sit on them, they go up in value, you could resell them. The kids out there that are trying to get in this game is completely different now, right? Because, I mean, it's basically the hype beast, it changed it all. So, I need a temporary park. Before, you could sit on your sneaker, wait a couple years, it'll go up in price, you can resell it. So you can flip the sneaker for $175 and you get $350. Well, now what's happened is, that may have happened back then. Yes, please. That may have happened back then, but actually, I've had shoes that were at one point worth maybe like $500, and they dipped down to like below retail what I actually spent on them years before. So you got to be very careful with the sneaker game. And I think folks know what you need to get. There's Virgil Abloh Off-White, all these like little trendy fashion sneakers, and again, it's because of Kanye West. If you can get your hands on one of those, fine. But it's not. And I talked to my family and friends about this. You don't know, I'm really in the game. It's not like you can just decide, oh, yeah, I want that shoe. I know it's going to be worth something. You got to be up in the morning at 7 in the morning, enter yourself into a raffle. Thank you. Which you only have a 15-minute window. And then if you're lucky, you get selected to purchase the shoes. And then you can flip them. But the chances of you getting selected for one of these shoes is very rare. I mean, you may be getting selected like 2-3 times a year. So if you're just piling and buying shoes and sitting on them, trust me, it's a huge mistake. I was out flying a kite with my kids. I had a pair of Pearl Foam Posits that were from the He Got Game movie, and they literally fell apart because after 7 years, shoes disintegrate. So it's like now I'm sitting here thinking, damn, I got all these sneakers from like 7-8 years ago. Are they going to even be worth any money? You know what I mean? And the folks at Soul Supremacy in Newark and Prestige in Alameda, they know what's up. That's why they post on their eBay listings that, you know, be careful if it's 7 years or old because shoes may not even last.
Wow.
So just throwing that out there. So
you are a legit sneakerhead, Big Dave. You did not oversell yourself. Thank you for calling, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Later.
All right. It's Big Dave in San Leandro, resident sneakerhead. Despacito is Puerto Rican, not Mexican. Bad DJ. Although I don't think either of us said it was Mexican, did we? It's Latin. That's reaching. By the way, Austin Rivers, 28 minutes in game 2. In game 3, almost 28 minutes, he is the guy that I teased about as we were leaving the previous segment. Austin Rivers is yet another guy. The Rockets have a few of them that they can have a good game without the box score looking great. Austin Rivers, his thing is just being disruptive on defense. Look, the Rockets are way better on defense than I thought they would be. They lost their best defender in Trevor Ariza to free agency, and they also said goodbye to Luke Mbamute. I love saying that correctly. I'm so proud of myself. Luke Mbamute. It's not easy. If you just look at the name and try to read it cold, it's not easy. But Austin Rivers is easy, and he is hard to defend against because you can't treat him like, yeah, he's a non-shooter. He's a non-factor. We can kind of sag off of him and take it easy. He's not that guy. He will hurt you if you do that. Not a go-to offensive player, but not a bad offensive player either. A lot of people cannot stand Austin Rivers, and I think a lot of it is because, as I mentioned, his father is an NBA coach. He was also the NBA GM that acquired Austin Rivers. Of course, we're talking about Doc Rivers. Coach of the Clippers, might be coaching KD next year. That's my call. I don't think KD's leaving, but if he leaves, Clippers makes the most sense to me. I don't know. He ain't leaving. We had Nick Wright was on with Damon Bruce, and he said, everybody knows that KD is leaving. You know it. The Warriors know it. And he said, and there's Warriors fans out there that can't wait for him to leave. They want him to leave. Really? If there's a Warriors fan out there that wants KD to leave, please call so we can have a conversation about that. Let's go to Steven in Vallejo. Steven, what's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going, Herb?
Fantastic. You got a prediction for me?
I do, but before we get to that, I just want to say I'm wearing a pair of Nike Air Maxes I got at the outlet for $40, and that's how I roll.
You're a baller, dude.
Yeah. You know, one of the knocks I have on the Rockets is James Harden is always going to get his, but they need that secondary score. This last game, it was Eric Gordon putting up 30 for them, yep. I think, which was huge. Your boy Austin Rivers also picked up a questionable foul on Curry, which kind of helped take Curry even more out of his rhythm. I don't have the stats to really back this up, but I don't think we've ever seen Steph and Clay go for 46 and 44 minutes, and Clay only put up 16 points and Steph put up 17. Like, that's kind of an anomaly. And so for this game four coming up, I'm almost positive that things are going to come a little bit back to the mean there, and their points are really going to step up. And as far as KD, I've got a prediction on that, too.
All right.
Embiid came out with some audio this past couple days saying he would love to play with Steph Curry. How about a trade, KD for Embiid? KD plays with a lot of pieces in Philly. It's even closer to his home than New York is. And he could be immediately on a championship.
Wait, Steven, you lost me because you said that Embiid said he would love to play with Curry.
With Curry, yeah.
Okay, so you want to acquire Embiid to grant his wish, but you're giving up KD to do it?
Yep.
I'll take Embiid. And I don't want KD to leave, though.
Well, I don't either, but if he, you know, is going to, and the only way the Warriors can pick up a top-tier player is if it's done in a trade. Because even if KD leaves, they don't have the money under the cap space to acquire a top-notch
player. That's a mistake that a lot of people make. They think, okay, if KD doesn't leave, then, okay, what's the Supermax? That's a ton of money. Now we can just go get someone else. It's not that easy. It seems like it should be, but it's not.
Yeah, bird rights and max contracts and all that good, fun capologist stuff.
Exactly.
But it would be an interesting thing to see if it was even like a sign-in trade. So assign KD and then trade him for Embiid. And it would really, I think, would be a win-win situation, I think, for both teams.
All right, man. Thank you for calling, Steven. Happy Cinco de Mayo to you.
You too, sir. Thanks.
All right. I'll bet you Puerto Ricans celebrate Cinco de Mayo. My God. That's nitpicking of the ninth degree. The nth degree, I'm sorry, not the ninth. Real quick, before we get to Grant Cohn, the 925. P.J. Tucker is definitely a factor in this series. Being that annoying, relentless player is underrated. It can throw off even the most composed players, which can make or break a game, especially down the stretch. Good point, Herbs. That's from Tyler in the 925. Thank you, Tyler. Now we go to one of our experts. He is always gracious with his time as well. He is an online columnist for the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. He is Grant Cohen. We're going to talk a little bit of Niners football here. Grant, thanks for joining us, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, Michael, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing very well. Obviously, we've been talking a whole lot of Warriors, but you can talk Niners anywhere, anytime, and some people are going to be interested. And because they're starting to crank things up, I think the interest level is increasing. Tell me, from your perspective, having you spend a ton of time around the team, what right now is the biggest Niners story out there? Is it Garoppolo and how's his recovery going? Is it, oh my God, they crushed that draft? What is it for you?
I think it's partly the drama that Jeremy has going on in the front office between Kyle Fenton and his on Lynch. And I think the other thing is the intrigue into these draft picks the Niners just had. I mean, I just posted a video of Jalen Hurd and Deebo Samuel, the two rookie wide receivers, warming up before practice. It was 3 minutes of them warming up with Wes Welker, the new wide receiver coach, teaching him a couple of releases. And the video got like 40,000 views. I think people are extremely intrigued to see the new players that Kyle Shanahan has handpicked to run his offense, and people want to know, is this the year that the Niners are going to start to look like the Rams, or is Kyle Shanahan more like John Gruden than like Sean McVay?
The voice you hear is that of Grant Cohn. He is a columnist for the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. You can follow him. You should follow him on Twitter at Grant Cohn, GRANTCOHN. As Grant himself just said, he posts a lot of video. It's not just, 40 characters of Grant's opinion. There's a lot of interactive type stuff. So, again, Twitter, at Grant Cohn, GRANTCOHN. Everybody wants to know what Jimmy Garoppolo had for breakfast. How did he sleep? He makes everyone better. When Garoppolo's healthy, Grant, you are a better writer. Where are we at with him?
Well, he says he's ahead of schedule. He is like every other athlete ever. When you ask them how they're coming back from ACL, they said they're ahead of schedule and everything's great. I'm curious to see how much he really does in training camp. Like, will he go through warm-ups and individual routines but not team drills? I'm curious to see. But the expectation is he'll be ready for all of preseason and all of the regular season. Then the question is, does he have enough weapons? Is he going to be durable enough? I think really that's the question. Is he going to be durable enough? Because he's 27 years old. He's only played 10 games in the NFL,
right,
and he's gotten hurt in two of them. It's big-time injuries. So you look at a guy like Russell Wilson, who's little, you'd think durability would be an issue for him. He's never missed a game in his entire career. So, yeah, can he play 16 games? That's a baseline for Garoppolo next year.
We're talking with Grant Cohn of the Santa Rosa Press Democrat, some Niners football. Follow him on Twitter, at Grant Cohn. We were actually talking about Jimmy G before the show in the production room, the studio, I don't know what we call it, Grant, but the topic of Jimmy G in preseason games. Some people said, I don't want him playing in any preseason.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.